Could you pray for me for a moment? Pray that I'll speak the Lord's words to you, and I'll pray that you're able to hear in your hearts what He wants you to hear. Let us entrust each other and our prayers to Our Lady's intercession as we pray together. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Our gospel presents us with this pressing question. Lord, will only a few people be saved? And we can think about where that question might be coming from, depending on who's asking it. It can be asked in different ways. Lord, will only a few people be saved? Now, someone might ask that question because they're afraid for their own salvation. Am I going to get into heaven? Am I going to make it? Is it a pretty elite group? Is it hard? Is it easy? What does it take? We can ask that out of our own healthy, holy anxiety, an anxiety of wanting to be pleasing to the Lord and to follow Him closely. That question can also be asked out of a concern for others, a desire in our own hearts that everyone be saved. What will it take for others to enter the kingdom of heaven, and what can I do to help them? So we can see that can come from two different places. A very self-centered concern, not a bad concern. It's an important question that we should be asking. Am I on the path? How am I doing in my spiritual life? Am I following the Lord faithfully, closely? And then also about others. How can I spread the gospel? How can I help others to experience salvation? Now, we might want to take a step back and reflect on that word, to be saved. What does that mean? Sounds a little bit Protestant. This is the Protestant gospel today. No, to be saved is an important word for us, but not something that we're always so in tune with. Sometimes we don't feel like we're in danger of being lost, and so we don't feel like we need to be saved. And being saved has to do with something at the end of our lives, after we die, what's going to happen to us. I think as we get closer to that point, maybe we ask that question a little bit more urgently, but we wonder what will happen after I die, and that's an important question. But it's an important question for how we live now also. What does it mean to be saved? Pope Benedict responded to this question a couple of years ago when he was still Pope. To be saved from what? He said, we need to be saved from the prideful presumption of self-sufficiency. The idea that we can do it all on our own, that we don't really need anyone for anything. Why do we need to be saved from that? Because we were made for love. We were made to depend on others, to trust in others, and to be a strength for others. We were made for community. We were made for relationships. And the danger is if we get really good at providing for ourselves, we might not need anyone for anything. Now, at first we think, oh, that sounds kind of nice. Because it's hard when we trust in other people and they let us down. It's painful. And there's a part of us that doesn't want to trust in anybody for anything. Because some of the time it's going to lead to disappointment and pain. And so we try to find ways that we can just be self-sufficient. The ultimate expression of that, however, is total isolation. And the word we usually use in Christianity for that is hell. To be totally alone and to need no one for anything is hell. In fact, we want to need God. And we want to need other people. To depend on other people, to trust in other people, to share with other people, to support and be supported by other people, this is not a bad thing. And if we also think about our lives, we think, well, yeah, the most beautiful moments in my life were when I was hurting. That wasn't beautiful. But somebody came to my assistance and cared about me. That was beautiful. And ultimately in heaven, I don't want to just be this isolated island. I want to be able to love, to make a gift of myself, and to receive other people, relationships, and deep and intimate relationships where there's a lot of trust. That's really beautiful. That's what I want. So when we talk about being saved, we're also talking about being saved from isolation, from being totally alone, from depending only on ourselves, from having our hearts closed off from any form of trust and love. We want to be saved from that. So there are areas in every one of our lives where we're afraid to trust and where we have barriers, and all of us need to be saved more. We can use that not just in a binary way, saved or not saved, but saved more or less. We all need to be saved more, and as we're saved more, opening through trust, being able to trust in God, beautiful things open up in our own lives. Also some difficulties and disappointments, but beautiful things. But then we can extend ourselves to think about our brothers and sisters. What does it take to save someone else? Well, it's not just a matter of preaching the gospel at them. Here, let me cram this gospel down your throat and now say these magical words and now you're saved. Boom! No, there's something deeper than that that has to do, again, with relationship. Saving someone from being isolated, from being distrusting, from being unforgiving, from having barriers and resistances against other people and also against a God who loves us so much. That's what we need to be saved from, and that's what we need to reach out to help other people be saved from. Who is that person who's isolated in their own self-sufficiency, who's closed off in their own fear or their own pride, who doesn't have any time for anyone, and who doesn't think that they need anyone? That's the person that we should have a real concern on our heart for, and we should ask ourselves, how can I reach out to that person? How can I invite them? First of all, sometimes we think too quickly, how do I invite them to church? Well, that might be down the road, but how do I invite them just to come over for dinner? How do I invite them just to have a conversation with me? How do I break into this world that's become too enclosed? How do I reach out to somebody in love? That's the first step, and maybe the most important one, and that's evangelization. And then if we come back to this question that was posed to Jesus, Lord, will only a few people be saved? We also need to ask, what does God want? Does God want only for a few people to be saved? Well, we heard it in the first reading. God wants His glory to be proclaimed to the nations. He wants everybody to know how marvelous His love is. He wants everybody to know how expansive His mercy is. He wants everybody to know that they are invited into an infinite relationship of love with Him. He wants them to know that He has riches of intimacy and kindness and tenderness that they can receive from. He wants everyone to know this. And He wants you and me to be the ones to carry that message to them. First of all, by inviting people into a relationship of love and tenderness with ourselves, with our own families. And then we begin to introduce them to a God whose love is unconditional and limitless. That's the great treasure that we have as Christians. And to reach into that world, to break into that world that's become too enclosed through fear and pride, is the greatest gift we could ever give somebody. As we celebrate this Eucharist, let us take a moment as we prepare the gifts to mourn. Just a moment to mourn how many people are not receiving the treasure that we're receiving this morning. And allow that mourning, that sadness, that longing for everyone to know the goodness and the mercy of God. Allow that desire to rise up in our hearts. And maybe the Lord gives us a few names and faces that we can reach out to. Maybe today, maybe sometime this week, but we can already begin to reach out to in this Mass through prayer.